Chapter 1. The Forest of Fangs. They never tell you it's the girls that are hardest to kill. He would have liked nothing more than to forget every ball he'd ever been forced to attend. But the mind is a funny bastard, one he'd trained to retain information on the off chance it could save his life. And so he remembered. He remembered her. First-year debutantes tended to flee from him once the introductions were over, which was only a shade politer than those in their second and third years, who needn't bother speaking to him at all. But she was 16 years old, and a willowy little thing, all dolled up in pink lace, stammering and nervous at first, but braver than she let on. She'd stayed and smiled and talked to him like he wasn't a pariah among the aristocracy, like she wasn't risking her reputation over a conversation with him. She had lovely green eyes and smelled like jasmine. She'd called him Armiger, not lord or lady, but a neutral title he felt was more in keeping with who he was. She hadn't mocked him like so many others had. The bar for empathy was on the ground as far as the nobility was concerned, but when you were used to eating dirt, being thrown a bone felt like kindness. And so it had hurt, in an unexpected, bewildering way, when he'd received the order to execute her. Like most of the damned, she was beautiful. She'd always been breathtaking, but death had a curious way of remolding her features, shaping them into an artificial perfection that mere mortals could never reach. He was reminded of his old school lessons, of chameleons who changed their colours for camouflage, of butterflies that mimicked flowers for their own protection. But Lady Daenerys' preternatural beauty was not for her protection. Lady Daenerys' beauty was bait. She stood in the small clearing with moonlight threading through the dark tresses of her hair, braiding it in softer shades of light. Her small white fingers trembled as she undid the laces of her gown, deliberate in their clumsiness. "Come to me," she crooned. He approached her. His eyes were not on her face, nor were they on her now exposed bodice. They were on her lips, which were stained in a scarlet hue darker than any rouge could achieve. She smiled at him then, and he could almost see traces of the girl she once was, even as her arms wound themselves around his neck, her breath light against the base of his throat. "Please," she whispered, and her mouth opened, wide. She was quick, but he was quicker. She shoved him away with a screech and stumbled back as blood pooled down her chin. He'd stabbed a wooden stake right through the flesh, exiting at the back of her head. She wrenched the weapon free, leaving an ugly, gaping hole between her upper cheek and lower jaw, injuries she ignored as she flung away the stake and focused on his face, her lips twisting and fangs protruding further when she realized what he was. "Reaper," she snarled and leapt. She blurred from view, reappeared behind him, then disappeared again as he spun around until she was surrounding him from all sides simultaneously. A neat trick for someone only 2 weeks dead. He drew out Breaker from where it lay strapped across his back, the thick handle a bludgeon all on its own. His thumb moved across a hidden switch, and concealed twin scythe blades snapped outward, at the farthest end like ram horns, curved downwards and sharp. She was too fast, though, and he was still mortal. The problem with carrying something that was essentially five weapons in one was that it weighed the sum of its parts. Gauging a vampire's movements with human eyes was pointless and often fatal, so he concentrated on his 16 years of training. 16 years of getting bled out and stabbed and maimed so badly that his sharpened senses could pinpoint exactly where she was about to attack, based on which part of his body was already phantom aching. His left side throbbed. He turned to deflect, the steel slamming against fingernails that could tear through bark. She flickered away and came up.